listening to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast, hosted by Quincy Wheeler and friends, a podcast about the Cleveland professional baseball team and its fans.
Welcome to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. I'm your host, Quincy Wheeler. You can find me at Guardian Fancast on Twitter and also at Quincy Wheeler 1 on Twitter or Blue Sky. Looks like we'll all be headed over to Blue Sky fairly soon as Twitter tries to make it a pay-to-play platform. So make sure to follow me over there if you're on there. And you can always email me at quincy@guardiansfancast.com. Or find me on coveringthecorner.com, where I do some writing. Today, I thought I would check in on a couple things. First of all, I'm going to be doing Covering the Corners podcast with Matt Dallas fairly regularly. I'll be taking turns on it. So if you want to look at and doing it with Matt, and we're trying to get a bunch of people involved. So if you look up the Disgusting Baseball podcast, which I'll put a link to in the description of this episode, make sure to follow that and subscribe and download those episodes, and we'll have some good time talking about Guardians baseball stuff. Make sure you're checking out the articles that are being written on Covering the Corner. Lots of new writers, lots of exciting ideas that those new writers are bringing, new perspectives. Eli, who joined us for a lot of our Guardians Party Line episodes, they are writing for the website, so looking forward to seeing their perspectives on things. I thought that they had a great article about the highlights of the season, which I always like to do as well. I hope to give you kind of a weekly episode here on Guardians Fancast, and then we'll see what my plan will be for the coming year. I know that many of you know I kind of went down to a week's episode after aiming for about 3 episodes. We'll see if I'm able to get back up to more doing one after every game and what the plans are there. But we'll go with the flow of this offseason and mostly do one episode per week. Maybe I'll talk to some people when we get through the season, seeing about potential trades. But that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit today. First, I'd like to talk about the Guardians managerial search. I think just about everybody had thought the Guardians were aiming to try to get Will Venable, bench coach for the Texas Rangers. And then the news came out that he is going to stay with Texas. I wouldn't be surprised by that. He seems to be set up to replace Bruce Bochy, but it also could be something that he put out there to stop people rumoring that he's going to go anywhere while the Rangers are making this run to the World Series. So I could definitely see something still happening with Venable. Wouldn't completely rule that out. And the Guardians may be waiting to see what happens with the Rangers playoff run before they would make that move, reapproach the subject. But it's also possible that he's fine in Texas. And that's okay, because there's a lot of other good candidates out there. John McDonald and Chris Valleca, Paul Hoynes said that both of them got interviewed by the Guardians, or are believed to have been interviewed by the Guardians. John McDonald, of course, former shortstop utility infielder for the Guardians. And then also Chris Valleca, the hitting coach, of course, both still pretty young guys and guys who obviously understand the advent of analytics, have some good respect in the organization. Sound like some other internal candidates have been interviewed, but these are the two that we know. Be odd to have Chris Valleca go from being hitting coach of one of the worst hitting teams in Cleveland baseball history to manager. And I'm not blaming him for what happened with the hitters, but it just would be an odd progression. There's no doubt about that. So that's something to think about. I'm not saying that I'm 100% against the idea, but it would be odd. I don't like when people say, well, if we make him the manager, then he can't be the hitting coach, except as a joke. I mean, it's funny as a joke, but and obviously, I'm not offended by it or anything, but if he's a problem, then the team needs to move on from him, not just make him manager. So, and they may move on from him as a hitting coach anyway, depending on who they hire and what that person wants to do with their staff. John McDonald, defense on-field coordinator. Obviously, don't really know much about him as a manager, but it seems like everybody liked him when he was on the team, and I'm sure he's got a lot of respect in the organization. There's been some other names rumored to be out there. Craig Albernez, bullpen coach and catching coach for the Giants. He has a Boston accent, so kind of interesting there. That they talked about how they made his voice the voice of PitchCom. So he would say cutta, slida. It seems like he has a good sense of humor. I like that. Obviously, the team likes something about him and what he brings to the table. Carlos Mendoza, who's the bench coach for the Yankees, bilingual, which is nice. Still a younger guy, got a lot of respect throughout the league, seen as a next guy up for a managerial job. So I think that's a good person to interview. Yankees have some good knowledge, good analytics reputation. I like that. Of course, there's been some other names out there. As I record this on Wednesday, we heard this morning that Mike Budzinski, who used to be a Cleveland player, a utility guy, and then also a Cleveland coach in the minor leagues, and then with the major league team in 2017, he's now first base coach for the Blue Jays. He got interviewed for the role. I see on the internet Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians. Make sure you're checking out their stuff and waiting for next year. He said that he was beloved in Cleveland, and just reading around on the internet, I could see that as well. So obviously a guy who has a lot of respect in the organization, and so that's something that he brings to the table, and some good past experiences there and success doing minor league managing. And obviously is part of one, probably the greatest Cleveland baseball team ever in 2017. So I can't argue with that kind of energy coming back into the building. Also, Troy Snicker, there's been some buzz from random Twitter accounts about him being the front runner. He's Brian Snicker, manager of the Braves' son. He's a hitting coach for the Astros. I think the most exciting thing about that is trying to poach somebody from the Astros. Hopefully you get some of the knowledge and depth of experience of that organization, the success that they've had, the ability they've had to have a consistent, steady clubhouse with a lot of changes and upheaval over the years and outside pressures. If he can bring some of that experience to the role, that's pretty exciting. Somebody to think about and keep on your mind. And obviously, as a young guy, Mike Budzinski is a 50-year-old, is the oldest of this bunch of folks that I've mentioned. Snicker's only 35 years old, so that would be an interesting young hire if they went that direction. Seems like they're kind of aiming for someone younger, maybe trying to avoid some of the instability with health issues that they've had from older managers, maybe trying to have a young guy grow up with a young team. I can see that. I can see the logic behind that. Paul Hoynes also mentioned Mike Carlitti, who's the bench coach for the Phillies. The Phillies have amazing vibes. So Carlitti being a former scout with the Cleveland organization wouldn't surprise me at all if he's been interviewed and is somebody that they're considering. So I like that idea. I like the idea of stealing from what the Phillies are doing and being interested in that as something that the team might be able to build on. Clayton McAuliffe, who is a first base coach for the Dodgers. He's also got Cleveland baseball connections, and he was rumored by Hoynes to maybe be somebody the team's looking at. And again, Dodgers, great organization to steal brain talent from. Exciting to see if that's the kind of way they might approach things, trying to fill in some gaps maybe in their knowledge by going to other teams and seeing what other teams offer. I see that Jose Ramirez and Andrés Giménez have both been nominated for Gold Gloves. I'm sure that one's coming for Stephen Kwan as well. Andrés Giménez should certainly win that Gold Glove. And I don't know if Ramirez will, but it's fun to see him get nominated and get some more recognition for all the good work he puts in all over the field. Maybe he'll just get the award for punching Tim Anderson. I don't know. I wanted to talk a little bit about the offseason potential moves we could see. I put together some trades with baseball trade values, a flawed site. I don't use it to say this is what a trade absolutely is going to look like, but it gives you a general, unscientific, but as scientific as we can probably get sense of what possible deals could make sense. It doesn't think much of Taylor Ward from the Angels, which I think is crazy. I think he'll be seen as a little more valuable. But it is possible the Guardians could get Taylor Ward for something like Doug Nikhazy and Jose Tania or Freeman, somebody who's seen as a pretty decent infield prospect, but not amazing prospect, somebody who's got potential for back of the rotation starter and has flashed that in the upper levels of the minors. I could see that getting a deal done for Taylor Ward, who has a great ability to hit left-handers and a pretty good ceiling that he could get to as a regular outfielder. I like the idea of maybe swapping Shane Bieber for Anthony Santander from the Orioles. Orioles should look to move on from an outfielder to find some pitching help. Maybe you have to do Bieber and like a Parker Messick to give them somebody else to work on for the future, given that Bieber only has 1 year and so does Santander. Ward, by the way, has 3 years, so that's kind of a big deal with him. He's a little bit on the older side. Everybody here is kind of in those late 20s, early 30s range. Then, like a big fish idea, if the Guardians went after Randy Arozarena, who's into arbitration, maybe the Rays want to move on from him because they know they can't get a contract extension. So to get Arozarena, you'd probably have to offer something like Logan Allen, Chase DeLauder, and Brian Rocchio. That's a lot. That's expensive. And a lot of people don't want to give up on DeLauder, and I completely understand that. But Arozarena is a guy who's a right-handed hitter, hits left-hand pitching well. You can put him in the middle of the order and feel fine about that. He doesn't play great defense, but again, seems like the kind of guy who can play good defense when he needs to, as he showed in the World Baseball Classic. A lot of guys get locked in the playoffs defense-wise, and I think Arozarena is that kind of guy too. Then Tyler O'Neill from the Cardinals. You get 1 year of O'Neill for something like Angel Martinez and Doug Nikhazy, something like that. Maybe you have to do Parker Messick and Doug Nikhazy because the Cardinals need some help pitching-wise. I could see that kind of deal getting done. O'Neill hits left-handers well. He's the kind of guy you can dream on some ceiling, give you a real good year while you figure out what you got with Yan Kinsey Noel and Johnny Rodriguez and George Valera. Same way with Santander there. Same way with Juan Soto. Now, Jim Bowden is dumb, but he came out saying, well, maybe the Guardians could trade Kwan and Bieber for Soto. Don't know that the Padres would want Bieber, and I also don't know that I want to give up Kwan for 1 year of Soto. For sure, for 2 years of Soto, Kwan and another great piece makes sense, but 1 year, that's a lot to gamble. Even if that was the case and you trade Kwan straight up for Soto, okay, I can see that argument, but I'm not including somebody who can make a playoff start for me in that kind of deal. Soto is certainly the most exciting potential name out there. If you look at expected WOBA from the past year, so this is how guys probably should have been able to get on base if you average everything else out, park and luck and all, and hard hit rate and all these different things. So, you know, a 400 WOBA is pretty great. 350 WOBA is pretty awesome. 330 is still fine. Above, you know, that above average WRC plus is fine with 330. So Juan Soto, 408 expected WOBA, obviously pretty great. Mike Trout, 388. Hey, if the Angels want to move out from Trout and the Guardians want to figure out a way to make that work contract-wise, it's never going to happen in a million years, but just know I'm absolutely here for it. It's just not going to happen. Jack Peterson, 368 expected WOBA. I know he had some kind of negative things to say about the Guardians, but he just is one of those guys that just seems to kind of say stuff, and I'm not sure how serious that kind of thing was where he was talking about them being kind of cheap. And if they came in with the right deal, I guess that changes that narrative. He certainly had a good year, but another guy who hits right-handed pitching and not really left-handed pitching, not a great fit. What if the Rangers look at moving an outfielder? Well, in that case, you're probably looking at having to include at least Logan Allen in that deal. So then you could talk about Adolis Garcia, who had a 367 expected WOBA. Something to think about there. Not exactly likely, but just something to think about. He's also a clubhouse leader, so that's nice. Lars Nootbaar, just want to mention, hey, if you can figure out a kind of a big blockbuster deal where you give St. Louis a young pitcher for Lars Nootbaar, 357 expected WOBA, that's pretty great. He hits left-handed, but he hits left-handers just fine. So that's something interesting to think about. Randy Rosarena is there at 352. Brent Rooker, who is a great Twitter follow, I would be interested in him. He had a 347 expected WOBA. He hits left-handers extremely well, right-handers not as much. Strikes out a lot, but I think the Guardians can afford that, and I'd certainly be interested in him in that role. So just going a little bit further down the list, you eventually run yourself into Taylor Ward at 338, Teoscar Hernandez at 336. So Teoscar Hernandez could be signed as a free agent. He's friends with Jose Ramirez, so that's the kind of guy to think about in that role, as somebody that could fill that role and hit left-handers very well. Cody Bellinger is at 331 expected WOBA. He can play center field, and you'd feel fine about him being there. If the Guardians want to play in that deep end of the free agent pool, I'm absolutely here for it. Bellinger has hit left-handers just fine his whole career, so I think that's somebody to consider and possibly that they could look at. Another guy that I'm not opposed to is the idea of Mark Canha. He's kind of like your Cole Calhoun type, but right-handed. Gives you a lot of veteran leadership, is a neat guy, and has the ability to be a solid above-average major league hitter. Won't change your whole lineup, but him and somebody else could be some pretty exciting additions if you did two of them. That's another name that I keep in mind. So there's some names to think about as we head into this offseason. And, you know, if I could pick, I think signing Teoscar Hernandez to a Josh Bell-type deal would be a pretty great move for them. And I think trading for Taylor Ward, if you did both of those things, you'd feel pretty amazing about the offseason and about the chances of the team to improve their outfield production. You can probably do all that while maintaining also your outfield depth. So if you have injury issues or somebody slides, in terms of production, you have some guys to back them up and enable you to sustain their losses or their regression. I like all those ideas, and none of these guys are going to break the bank. So Chris Antonetti, once you get done hiring a manager, let's make some of these things happen. All right, thanks for listening. And like I said, try to do one of these a week. And I appreciate you reading Covering the Corner, listening to the Disgusting Baseball Podcast, and continuing to follow here.
This has been the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. You can find us on any major podcast platform. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, rate, and review. Thank you for listening.